The Volume.
Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, are you taking the overs, the unders? They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
It's Friday and there's football on. I could not be in a better place emotionally, mentally, or physically right now. I appreciate you guys joining us. It's the J-Boy Show live from the Mecca, the Palace, the Coliseum from downtown Atlanta here in the College Football Hall of Fame. Make sure you turn on those notifications. Hit that subscribe button because why not? You know you love it. We love it as well. Shout out to the Booster Club, the greatest grassroots movement since the Declaration of Independence. Wow. I saw that on Twitter today. Forgot who said it, but it was brilliant. I'm sure they'll probably talk about it in the Booster Club. Yeah. I'm going to get to the rundown, but first, Blaine, somebody has already breaded us in the Booster Club, and we need to let the people know who did. credit.
Good morning, Booster Club.
It's a Robin Hood situation.
$10 donation from the one and only California Dog.
The California
Dog.
He's
a dog out in Cali. You don't see a lot of those. All right. How can UGA shake the SEC hangover and get back on track? This is still a dominant team that crushed four opponents Bama struggled with. And also treat yourself to a cold soda and hope it goes down like gravity.
Hey, listen, I'm California dreaming right now, my friend. Appreciate you coming in here. Here's what I'll say before we get to the rundown. Georgia needs no motivation to come back and play this game. All right, to me, and I've talked about it on this show, Jordan Davis, a lot of those guys came back to play Bama. And guess what? You lost.
Blew it.
You lost. It got taken from you. To me, you didn't blow it. You lost. You got beat. So now... And you have to think about it from a human condition standpoint. Even though all those guys came back from Georgia to play that game, Georgia was already in. Somewhere in the back of your mind, I swear that had something to do with it. And Bama's fighting for their life. And I also think Bama from up front and Bryce Young played the game of their life. You got playoff Bama. Now, could they recreate that if they play him again? I don't know. I felt like Bryce pitched a perfect game. I wouldn't be shocked if they did it again, but the odds aren't great. But Georgia is more pissed than they've ever been because guess what? You lose to Michigan, guess what you really won? Nothing. You get there and beat Michigan, then play Bama and lose to them, guess what you really won? Nothing. So the motivation factor when Georgia plays Alabama again is going to be totally different. That's why I think we're going to see a hell of a game. I'm going to wait to make a prediction on that game. But real quick in the rundown of the show, the first thing I want to talk about is this interconference transfer portal and how it's bad and it needs to be fixed. And we've talked about it a lot on this show. Okay, that's where I'm going to start. Because I think it's very, very, very important, and we need to talk about it. And then we're going to talk about fixing the bowl opt-outs. Why we need the playoff. The same thing we've been sitting here and saying, and you're seeing it live with Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker. And we're going to dive into it. It's going to help save the bowl games, and it's what's best for college football. Then we have C.J. Spiller, College Football Hall of Fame running back, current running backs coach at Clemson, is going to join us. And then Cade McNown, Hall of Fame quarterback from UCLA, is going to join us as well. And you want to talk about winning the water cooler? You want to talk about talking about some football? We're about to dive in some real football-y, college football junkie type things today. And then we're going to talk about roster mismanagement, how the NCAA, and Dave Doran said it best. Nobody is talking about this, but we're going to. You want to know why? Because we go deeper than the deepest, if you know what I'm saying. And then we're going to get to the Booster Club, as usual. Like I told you, the greatest group chat, grassroots movement since the Declaration of Independence. We're just making sure that Nicolas Cage isn't going to try and steal it at some point. But I want to start with this interconference transfer rule. And I want to say this. I am for the players when it comes down to it. I want what's best for the players because I know what it's like to ask these guys to run full speed into other grown men for four quarters at least 12 times a year. So I was always a players guy, and I always want to do what's best for the players. And the one-year transfer where you want rule to me is good if it's practiced in the right way. There's some guardrails that have to be put in. This interconference transfer rule with no penalty, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. I'm just going to call it what it is. It's slimy, it's corrupt, and it is, to me, the most slimy part of what we've seen. And all of it's not slimy. You want to go from the SEC to the Pac-12, go ahead, in my opinion. But being able to transfer not only interconference, but interdivision?
Yep.
Eli Ricks goes from LSU to Bama. Boutte, they're talking about going from LSU to Bama. And Henry Toa went from Tennessee to Bama. And Bama's not the only one. Dare Rosenthal went from LSU to Kentucky. I don't like this. This, to me, opens up Pandora's box within the best conference, within the best, most fertile recruiting ground that there is. And you know how you fix it? It's very simple. It's very simple. You get the one-year transfer for free rule in college football. If you want to go stay in Power 5, that's fine, but it cannot be in the same conference. It cannot be, or else you have to forfeit a year. And if you're a guy that hasn't redshirted, you take that redshirt year like they used to do back in the day. But we have got to stop this. This is a slimy part of it, and it needs to be fixed. Because once this gets fixed... And I'll take it a step further. I think if I'm a guy that my freshman year I played somewhere and then I transferred from, let's just say, Georgia to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And after my sophomore year, the head coach at Michigan takes another job. I feel like that guy should be granted another transfer because the head coach left. But this interconference transfer rule is not good.
You are going to see tampering at an all-time high.
Yeah.
You're going to see recruiting of other teams. And not that it doesn't happen from one conference outside to the other, but once you do it inside the house, it's one thing to go mess with somebody across the street. It's another thing to mess with somebody who lives in the same house as you. And you want to talk about animus? And I'm all for competition and guys not liking guys and this, that, and the other. This is going to create a problem, a big problem. If you, just for example, if you're Bo Nix and you want to go from Auburn to Ole Miss, more power to you. You're going to have to sit a year. You're going to have to sit a year. I don't care if it's going from Washington to Oregon, shouldn't be allowed. Other conference to other conference, that's fine. If you want to go down a division, obviously that was free back in the day. You want to come up a division, fine, that's free. And after the first year, the first couple years, the head coach gets fired. You even talked about maybe the recruiting coach that recruited you that is listed as the recruiting coach for you gets fired. Then I think they should get another transfer. But this interconference transfer rule, it's not the move.
Yeah.
This is the worst part of it. And there's some really good parts. But this is the worst. What do you guys think?
Not only do I agree with you, this is so easy to solve.
It's so easy.
What is going on, man? Can we just have a little bit of common sense with what's going on? The NCAA, what did you say one time it stands for? Never cares about
never
athletes.
Never cares about athletes.
Never cares about – this is so easy to solve. A modicum of common sense would go a long way, and we would be able to fix these issues.
It's not like you said. This isn't – you're not – this isn't Bletchley Park. We're not trying to crack Germany's codes in World War II.
Yeah.
Like this isn't that – in depth. It's an easy fix. Very simple. You want to go anywhere outside of the conference you're in, that's your one free transfer. Congrats. Here's a bus ticket, plane ticket, whatever. Hope your career works out. But if you want to start saying, you know what, I'm going to leave LSU to go to Alabama, it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. It doesn't feel right when you say it.
It doesn't feel right when you say it.
And if you don't think that college football is dirty already, it is.
All right. It's been dirty.
This stuff has been happening, but now it's going to happen even more, especially with technology getting as good as it is. Tampering will even be more of a thing.
They'll go through a middleman.
That's how it's going to go. And you're going to get to a point, and I've been saying this, someone's going to make a super team.
Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It just depends where. But here's where the problem. Again, I'll use this example. And I'm not saying LSU did this. I'm just using it as an example. LSU hires Arkansas's offensive line coach. Okay, that's fine. People say, well, if players can't go, coaches can't go. No, here's how that works. And they do it in high school now. So if you hire a coach from a high school, you can't sign a kid from there for at least one, I think, or maybe 2 years.
Is that in effect right now?
That's in effect right now. That's a rule. But you are going to see what would stop me. If I'm Auburn and our secondary's struggling, and our safeties coach, I know I'm going to let him go, and you signed 2 5-star safeties at Arkansas last year. They love the recruiting coach. That's why they got him. What's to keep me from saying, listen, Arkansas secondary coach, I'll give you a $500,000 raise, but you got to bring those two with you because we need guys that can play. $500,000? Guess what that position coach is probably going to say? All right, that's fine. We're going to do it. And guess what? It's totally legal.
When you ask what's to stop them, the answer is the institution that is responsible for setting the rules.
So the rules should
step up to the plate because when you in that example, people are always going to do whatever the rule they can get away with what the rules dictate.
Yeah. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? It's the institution that's responsible for setting the rules
The rule needs to be if you hire a coach within the conference. I'm not talking about if you're at Alabama and you go hire Washington's D-line coach and guys from Washington come over there. That's one thing to me. That's one thing. But in the conference, there should be a rule. And you can make it a blanket rule if you wanted to across the country. I wouldn't mind. But especially just to get this interconference transfer rule down, there should be a penalty that if you hire a coach from within the conference, a full-time on-the-field coach, you cannot sign any of the players from that school for at least 2 years.
Okay.
It should be the same rule.
Yeah. It never sat right with me that you could go to a university, right, and the coach who either recruits you or your position coach or the head coach either gets fired or moves on, and then you're stuck there.
But see, we got to be specific, though.
Yes.
You got to be specific with what coach, because I feel like that could get manipulated. To me, I always erred on the side of if the head coach is let go.
Sure, the head coach, because that has the greatest chance for the scheme to change, which personally affected me, the scheme change. Mm-hmm. But you also, your position coach, you could have the best. I mean, that's who you're around the most. Either way, it never sat right with me. Let's just say head coach. The head coach moves on, is either fired or moves on, and then you are stuck there unless you want to go down a division, right? Okay, you are stuck there, and it never sat right with me, and they fixed that. But this is a great example of when you solve a problem, you know, other problems are created.
We are going to get to that in the D block.
So, this is why I want to ask you: do you think this is an example of the NCAA saying, you know what, we got so tired of all the complaints about players not being able to transfer because their coach leaves or they have a, you know, I had players play with players who had relatives that were sick back home. They wanted to be closer to home. Is this an example of them saying, you know what, we got so tired of it? Let it be the wild, wild West.
This was a give up. Here, have it, and we'll build the parachute on the way down.
Okay.
This isn't something that had to happen like right now. You didn't have to force it. It's like there was 8 seconds left on the clock. You're down by two, but you're chunking up a contested three.
Gotcha.
Like you didn't have to force it. You had time, and this is what happens when you do things out of haste and you don't sit there and go, okay, if this happens, then this happens. We need to make sure they're guardrails. We're seeing an NIL right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knows the rules. You want to know why? Because there's really no rules.
Yeah,
the rules are writing themselves. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have to just go out, it's like when you were kids and you go outside and like your neighborhood had a game you invented. Like some game that they don't play in PE, but you guys just invented it with the kids around the neighborhood. You had to play that game to invent the rules. Mm-hmm. You had to write the rules based on how you were playing the game and what made sense. The NCAA took that same approach, but this is so much more important than a neighborhood game where you mixed hopscotch with dodgeball for hodgeball.
I mean, there's only one person who can fix it, guys. There's only one person that they will listen to. Other than, excuse me, two people. Batman and who else? Might be the same person. It's Nick Saban.
Yeah, look.
When does Nick get pissed off enough about it to come out and say it? So they'll do what?
Change it. Yeah, that's true. What's the Booster Club saying?
We got another donation here I want to hit.
I want you to hit that button super duper hard, guys.
$4.99 donation from the one and only James Stallings. He won Stalling with this donation.
Or the Giant Peach.
Reports say Bo talked to a coach at UCF before getting in the portal, and is that not tampering?
Listen, you're going to hear a lot of hearsay. Do guys talk to guys before they get in the portal? Yes. Yes, but they typically do it, like I said, through middlemen. This isn't this wasn't called. It's like, hey, Bo, this is Gus. Don't tell anybody I'm calling you. They're going to be pretty pissed at me. Guys are flying around down here. You won't be a part of it. But, look. Yes, a little bit, but Bo knew. I think Bo knew he was gone when he didn't instantly say he was coming back. Honestly, deep down, I've talked to the guy multiple times. You could say, but again, without hard proof, I can't sit here and say it. Reports are going to report. There's going to be so many reports of tampering that I'm almost afraid that we're not going to find out who really tampered.
Yeah.
It's like in the NBA. They're like, well, they said you tampered, so we're going to think about it. And then get back to you. Like that's so hard to enforce. But again, if you're going to go through the lengths of, let me see the phone records, we can play a game of Jason Bourne, but you never know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, I got a question here from Nick Watson. What's up, Nick? Hashtag AskJBoy. Do you think George Pickens' late NIL deal indicates he may come back for another year with Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs?
I got to see what his grade is. You know, you get to see everybody's grade. I want to see his grade coming off the injury. Now, he's smart to come back and play because there's a lot of questions about how healthy you're going to be coming back. Well, what's a great place to show that? Probably in the playoff. So, I would not sit here and pretend to have any clue what is going through George Pickens' mind, but I would err on the side of him not coming back if he looks good in the playoff. I promise you that. And I would look at the length and I'd see the terms of this NIL deal or whatever. But I would err on the side if he balls.
And he's been through one ACL already.
Yeah,
would he be coming back for a fourth year?
This would be a fourth year. I believe he was a junior this year.
This is his third year
because I think he played as a true
As
a true freshman. All right, Blaine, one more from the Booster Club. Yeah. And I want to get to fixing these opt-outs because I'm 13 flavors of pissed about it.
All right, Zachary Allen with a question, hashtag AskJBoy. Should coaches be allowed to talk to / recruit players before they have entered the portal?
No.
He doesn't like it.
No, you shouldn't. But there's a lot of things you shouldn't do. Just because you shouldn't do something doesn't mean that people aren't doing it. You know, it's like that line that says, oh, don't climb over this fence. You're going to get too close. Well, people are going to climb over the fence. And you're watching people. They're going to go up to that edge. They're going to take a step, see what they get away with. Take another step, see what they get away with. I'm just worried that, like you said, the NCAA is just going to give up. They're going to be like, you know what? Just talk to whoever, whenever, whatever. You can't even do that in free agency, really, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
And it's especially important for those kids who are entering the transfer portal and don't know if they're going to be able to transfer.
But look, who's going to turn anybody in on that?
Yeah,
who's really going to take the time and be like, you know what? UCF called Bo Nix 3 hours before he entered the portal. Because here's how the portal works. There is a database that to be in the portal, you have to be in this database. Because every school has a login to this database. They go in and see, all right, he's officially in the portal. There is not a do not contact, so therefore I can reach out to him legally. It's a CYA. It's a CYA deal totally as the school saying, all right, well, you're officially in the portal. I can officially talk to you. But don't think that there aren't feelers being put out. Because, again, a lot of these guys have recruited guys that went to other places that may now go to where they're at. So they have their number. You want to talk about guys not burning bridges now?
Yeah.
There will be – it'll be the bridge to Terabithia.
Well, like I said, especially for those guys –
it'll look like Hogwarts classes with all the bridges and stairs.
Especially for
around.
Those guys who aren't automatically guaranteed to get picked up. I mean, the Bo Nixes of the world, most of the guys we talked about, the big-time quarterbacks, they're going to go
wherever
they want.
There's more people that aren't going to go than go.
There's a lot of people who get in that portal – and he'll get picked up on the other end. And it's like free agency.
And
like
I'm going to tell you in the D-block who's really getting screwed out of this whole thing because, again, the NCAA is just like, here, figure it out. Instead of act just like every other bureaucratic, almost governmental type system, it doesn't, like, they're not here to help you.
There's no penalty for being wrong. In any
institution
not penalized for poor decisions, why there's no incentive to make good decisions.
How do you think they could get away with treating people different with probation and this and granting this waiver and not this waiver? Because there's no – they're not the FBI, but they're not overlooked by anybody.
There's no consequence
for
being wrong.
There's no consequence. And when there's no consequence, you get a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yep.
And when you play stupid games, you
win
stupid prizes. That's exactly right. But
– write that one down, Blaine.
Yeah. Quilt that one in your memory blanket. So I want to talk about for a second. I know I'm not trying to just jump on a soapbox today, but there's a few things we got to iron out. Kenny Pickett and Kenneth Walker will not be playing. It's a New Year's Six game, right?
What's that? Peach Bowl.
Peach Bowl. Not going to be playing in the Peach Bowl. You want to know why? I'm not mad at him.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not mad at him.
I get it.
How do you fix it? Pretty simple. Expand the playoff to 12. Guess what? These two teams would have had a chance.
Yep.
And you'll have more guys that play in more bowls. You want to know why? Because more games equals more bowls. More soup, more bowls. More games, more bowls. So I just – it is another feather in the cap because this is sad.
It's sad.
Like I don't want to be the guy that get off my lawn. I remember back in the day, we used to watch games uphill both ways. You know, whatever. But, man, like, the bowl games used to be, like, used to be it.
That was the pinnacle of the
season. It was a reward.
Yes.
Bowl games were rewards. Now, for some of these guys, and I don't blame most of them, it's a nuisance. It's a problem. You're having to now explain your way in the Senior Bowl. They're like, well, why didn't you play? You now have to explain your way out of it. But you know how you fix it? You make that game worth more. And you make more games more valuable by expanding it to 12. And you know what else I thought the other day? And I got to give credit to Siski, a guy we've had on our show, Coach Siski. I was thinking, I know I talk about 12 being the cap, but if you took away the buys and you did 16 teams, you're not adding more games. Think about that. You're not adding more games. You're taking away the bye, but those other eight teams have to play. So really, you're not adding a ton more games or really any enough to affect the regular season. So I'm starting to maybe rethink, maybe 16 is the number without buys, but this would not happen if they were playing for a chance to advance. Some of these smaller bowls, I guess, if you got a big time, like if you're NIU and you've got a first round corner, I don't expect him to play in the holdmyhands.gov bowl.
Yeah.
It's a great bowl.
I get it. I get it. I'm not going
to
sit here and pretend like I don't get it.
That's
I dedicated
expand,
22
David.
Years of my life trying to go to the NFL. These kids, Kenny Pickett, Kenneth Walker, they have a chance to do that and go in the first round. I'm not going to sit here and judge them.
Yeah.
I will say what you said. When I was growing up, the bowl game was the pinnacle of the season. Right, it was the everybody wanted to go play in a bowl
Florida,
game.
Remember Florida, Michigan in the Citrus Bowl, Auburn, Wisconsin in the Outback.
And like the situation I remember with like Nick Bosa, right? Nick Bosa tried as hard as he could to come back that season. Right, wanted to come back and play that season. Kept getting injured. Knew he was going to be the first top three mm-hmm. overall pick and decided not to come back. Like that, I totally get it, mm-hmm. you know? But this is sad. It's sad. And so what Blaine and I were talking about, and this is what I want to ask you, you know, you have these kids who are like, because before, I mean, this isn't like the burnt barbecue, hope you like it bowl or something, right?
Yeah,
I mean, this is a New Year Six. This is the Peach Bowl. So if we used to see it in some of the lower bowls, if they're sitting out New Year Six bowls, because what Blaine's argument earlier was, they're not getting $1 million to play in the bowl games, and they're going to get that in the NFL. Well, they're not going to get $1 million even if they were national champions.
Well, what,
are we going to start seeing kids sit out even when they make the playoff?
No, I think with the playoff, no, because that's such a bad look. Like that is a scouts will be so turned off by that. I don't care if you're the LeBron of football. If you're in the playoff and you're not playing, I don't want you. I don't want you on my team.
But this the Peach Bowl.
What I think you may see happen, and Brandon Walker talked about this a little bit the other day. When do these bowls start going? Well, what if we paid Kenny Pickett $100,000 to play in the game? What if we paid Kenneth Walker? What if the Duke Mayo Bowl did a $200,000 deal with Kenneth Walker to play in the bowl game?
Or an insurance deal.
Or like an incentive,
right?
Like the MVP of the game.
You're
going to
look,
money
these games, and that will still be prevalent even probably outside of when we go to 12 or even 16. You're still going to get that, but it's lessening it. It's lessening the shrinkage. You will always have shrinkage. It will never be perfect, okay? This system will never be perfect. You want to know why? Because there is no perfect system. We just try and get as close as possible.
Yeah.
Like when you're running a business, you want to run the best business possible, but there's going to be problems. There's going to be shrinkage. You run a grocery store, people are going to drop stuff. Stuff's not going to come in on time. The quantity's not going to be enough sometimes. So you build that in. But the goal is to have that shrinkage decline by so much that you are operating at a pace that is the most profitable and the best for you to be able to move forward, survive, thrive, and advance. It's the same thing. We've got it. How do we eliminate it? You're never going to get rid of it fully because you're not going to go to 60 teams in the playoff, and I don't want that. But there's going to have to be something outside of, even when it goes to 12, to be able to keep big names in those bowl games. Because, again, without Kenneth Walker and Kenny Pickett now, and I love football, I'm not nearly as enthused about that game.
It's money.
You think it's money.
It's got to be money that fixes it.
It's the only thing. Guess what? Because it's fixing everything else.
Because what's this over anyways? It's over money.
Yeah.
It's over future.
But
it's
guess what? I bet the under, the minute I heard that, I think 59.5. I'll go ahead and leak that one out of here.
Maybe some incentives in the bowl game or something like that.
That's what I think you're going to have to see.
You're going to have to switch it up because the bowl games aren't what they used to be, especially when we were growing up. You know, what was cool when we were growing up? Running the ball and playing great defense. You know, things change.
Yeah.
Things change.
But that doesn't mean
But you have to – yeah, I know, but you have to be somewhat of a step ahead because at the end of the day, everything in college football is trending, what, to money. It's trending to money. That's
it's always
what it
been
is.
Trending
it's,
to money.
Yeah, but now it's more obvious.
It's in
more
your
out
face.
In front now, right? It's trending towards the NFL, right? Yeah. It just is. So the only way to realistically fix this, and if you're a bowl game, you have to put in cinemas for somewhat money, or you're not going to get these first-round guys playing in your bowl game. You're just not.
No. What's the Booster Club set?
We got another donation here from Adam the Sports Guy. It's a $4.99 donation. Yeah, he's a real, real big sports guy. So we're going down to Miami. Does Miami win an ACC title within the next 3 years?
An ACC title. Are we talking about ACC overall title? Or are we talking about division title?
Overall.
Yes.
I think so, too.
I think year three, he hits it.
Yep.
I think year three, he hits it. I am so fascinated to watch how this rolls with Clemson. And we got CJ Spiller coming on today. You know, Cade McNown as well, as I mentioned. But I'm fascinated to see how Clemson bounces back, replacing coordinators. You've got momentum now in Miami. Florida State, even though it wasn't the most beautiful signing, they ended up putting together a really good class. Mike Norvell's going to do a good job down there. And then you got BNaps up in Gainesville. I'm so interested to see the state of Florida over the next 3 years because it's as open as it's ever been, and you've got guys that want to go take it. If you think the recruiting was heavy in the state of Florida now between the three schools, you have no idea what's coming down the pipe. It is going to be an absolute fist fight for kids. It is down there. And I'm going to get to another reason why high school kids are getting screwed right now that nobody's talking about. What else in the booster club?
Got a question here from Mike91MDK. And he says, bowls used to mean more to kids, it seems. I can understand skipping a toilet bowl, but a New Year's Six, it's a nice stage to maybe bump up your draft stock.
It is. But again, these guys are giving information and getting information back. They aren't making these decisions off a whim. This isn't I woke up this morning and don't want to play. This is, I know it's a New Year's Six bowl, but what's my out? It's not the playoff. It's not a championship game. It's not. So when you get asked that by the scouts, they don't look at you like you're crazy. But if you said, no, well, I'm Desmond Ritter and I'm sitting out the playoff game. What?
You don't
I
think it'll
never
get to that point?
No.
You don't think they'll say, look, you're a top 10 pick.
It's such a bad PR pick, a hit.
And this isn't. The New Year's Six isn't?
No, because it's not the playoff.
Yeah,
the game at the end of the day, and look, it means something for a lot of people. I get that. But think about it. If you're Kenny Pickett or you're Kenneth Walker and you've worked your whole life for this, camps, grinding, not doing the stuff that other kids do, you put your whole life into it for a chance to do something that 0.002% whatever of people get to do, and they reward you handsomely. You are almost set for life, or pretty much set for life if you handle it the right way, with a chance to make a ton more. And you look and say, all right, I've given my all for the guys I'm with. They know that. We made it through the season. We won the ACC championship. What do I really get out of this game? It can only hurt me. And you know what? They're right. These guys aren't late third round picks. The guys that are fighting to get drafted are playing in this game like their life depends on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, those guys don't have to, and I don't
blame agree. Them. I completely agree. All I'm saying is everything you just said, we could get to a point where that is exactly said for the playoffs as well.
I just, again, you're competing for a championship.
Right.
Like, it's the same reason
but
you're not.
Say, I get it, but everything
players,
he said could be said for that. What did he say? You don't have anything to gain financially. You only have something to lose. I mean, if you're going to be a top 10 pick, the same is true for the Peach Bowl, whether or not it's a championship or not.
But you're competing for a championship. Yeah. You still have a chance to win the championship. Like, again, it's like, to me, and this isn't the perfect comparison, but people don't dream at night about going and actually playing in the Pro Bowl. You want to make the Pro Bowl, but you want to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, what's the standard, Con?
Championships.
It's championships, man.
And that's such a bad look for a kid. He's like, you know what? We're still competing. How many guys opted out of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, and Kenny did say that he came back to win a championship, and he did do that. ACC championship.
And it's different. You're not winning a championship
now. Yeah, and it's different from
you're
Kenny
winning a trophy
Kenneth,
in a game.
In my opinion, like, Pickett's going to be, like, he's top 10. Right now he's projected ninth. I don't think Kenneth Walker projected in the first round.
It's not only different for that reason. Know. Running back, man. I mean, like, look, they take a lot of hits in a game like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
What happens? You tear your ACL in this game? You're sick forever.
I get it, man.
You're sick
I get it. I feel bad they even have to make the decision, man.
But, all right, one more, Blaine, and we're going to get to these interviews.
All right, let me get in here. I was looking at drafts.
You better drop down in there.
All right, I'm getting here. All right, we got a question here from 10-0, hashtag AskJBoy. Would you consider Bo Nix a true Auburn man, even though he left his eligibility and also going to another school?
Yes. I mean, God, look, it was a good break, in my opinion, for both people. Bo Nix put in his time at Auburn. I know Bo Nix is probably more disappointed than anybody. He didn't win a championship. Nobody probably hurts more than him. But I think it was best for him to go somewhere else. I think it was best for Auburn for him to go somewhere else. Sometimes you just got to break up because you don't want to stay in a relationship. You know it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's
you're fighting all the time. Mm-hmm. You make up, and that's great, but that's just like 10% of the other 90% just sucks.
I love you, so I'll let you go.
I love you, so I'll let you go.
They should make a movie called The Breakup.
If it's meant to be, they'll come back.
Look,
they never do.
Yeah, I just want to see you happy.
I want to see you
happy.
I just
want you, what matters most to me, just be happy.
You be
and
happy.
And that's what the Bo Nix and Auburn thing is, just, I'm happy.
I'm
still
love
surprised.
You.
I want to see you do good.
I can't believe he left. I'm surprised.
I can.
I mean, if the alternative was the NFL, then that one I get, just like we're talking about. I just can't believe he's going to go play for another school.
It was so toxic around Auburn. Yeah. Like, again, you talk about polarizing. I don't know a player that's as polarizing on campus as Bo Nix. They either love Bo Nix or they hate Bo Nix. But it's a different – yeah, it's the quarterback. But
even
it's like –
the Auburn fans, there are Auburn fans that just hate him.
Dog, Auburn fans are some of the
like,
worst
not,
at it.
Don't think he's good. I mean, look, I
can't
get it. He's not
Cam Newton. They think he's a daddy's boy that only played because he's a daddy's – which is ridiculous.
Gotcha, I see. Okay.
You know, but I some people were just
it
dug
took
in.
Him this long.
You had
you
the
know?
Same.
Like,
a lot of people saying, "Why isn't TJ?"
You thought he would leave earlier?
I mean, if you're going to leave, he's got 1 year left.
I thought he'd have left if Gus left.
I thought he would have gone.
You know, and then when you're saying, I was like, I guess he's riding it out.
Gotcha.
So, but anyways, all right, let's get to these interviews. Who are we going first? Are we going CJ or Cade?
We have got. I think we got CJ first.
Let's get CJ Spiller.
They're all edited together.
The downhiller. Unbelievable player, dog. Hall of Famer. Some great insight here. Let's get CJ up.
All right, we got another legend in the house. I can't believe I even caught him because nobody could catch him in college. CJ Spiller, Hall of Famer. Brother, I appreciate you joining us, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me on.
Definitely. And I'm going to get out of the way. What does it mean to you, man? What does it mean to you?
It truly is a humbling experience. I think I was just talking about it earlier. It truly hasn't sat in yet that you're in the Hall of Fame. It's something that you dream about as a little kid, that you just want to be known as one of the best to play this game and to have opportunity to now, you know, fulfill that dream to be going into the Hall with so many great honorees and inductees. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Coach Bob Stoops, Coach Herbert, that was at FAMU. You're talking about Al Wilson, that was at Tennessee.
We just had Al over
My man Darren Sproles. I mean, somebody that I grew up watching, you know, while I was, you know, coming up in the game. And then obviously when I got to the league, watching him, how he just went out there and just performed week in and week out. Tony Romo, I mean, Dan Morgan. I mean, the list goes on and on. So to be going in with such a great group of guys, it truly is a humbling thing for me.
You know, and CJ, too, you know, I remember watching you play. You know, you look around, you ain't got a gray hair in your head, man, when you're going in the Hall of Fame like some of these other guys. I remember watching you play. And when you look at Clemson now and what they've been and what Dabo's been able to do, you know, off year this year, sometimes, you know, coming off a crazy year, sometimes you miss at QB, sometimes it happens. But, you know, you were part of that wave that when I think of Clemson, I still think of C.J. Spiller going down the sideline. I still think of C.J. Spiller, like just the gap just increasing and increasing. When you were running the ball, catching the ball in the backfield, whatever, what was your mindset?
Really was to make a play. You know, that's one thing that I always wrote on my wristbands. It was two things I wrote on my wristbands. One was my grandmother's initials. Her name was Nettie Pearl Allen, so I would put NPA. And then she used to always tell me when I would play Pop Warner, make a play. Like, you know, it wasn't from an arrogant shield, that's like, make a play when things were just, you know, when people just sitting around waiting for somebody to make a play, she'd be like, you go make the play. You know, because I go home and complain like, oh, man, somebody need to make the play. And she was like, you need to make the play.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. So throughout my whole college career, that's what I wrote, make a play. So whenever we was on the sideline, I felt like, you know, the sideline was down or it wasn't going our way, I'll just look down at my wrist and then say, make a play. Yeah. And I'd be like, you know what, that's what I talk to myself now. I'd be like, 2-8, go make a play.
I love
so
that.
So that was always my mindset every time I took the field.
And, you know, CJ, too, you were a guy that was so versatile that could do so many different things. And you look today, even how offenses have evolved since you've been there, you know, with the RPO really kind of taking over. How fun is it to watch the evolution of offense from when you played, which wasn't that long ago, even to where it is now, man? It's changing every year.
Oh, it's been fun, you know, because change is good sometimes.
It is, it is.
Especially for college football and to see how it does change from the years. You know, I grew up watching the Reggie Bush, it was the I formation, you know, the toss sweep, you know, the dive. Now, you know, everybody's out wide. You're trying to spread the field. You're trying to, you know, make the defense defend every inch of the blade of the grass. And, you know, now to be on the other side coaching, man, it's a fun thing to truly watch. And it's a challenge each and every week, but you take great pride. And that's why you do it, because you're looking forward to those challenges, something that you can get better at.
And you know, coaching, I've been through it. It was always amazing to me, and I want to ask you. You made a ton of plays. So you're speaking of making a play, scored a lot of touchdowns. But what's more rewarding to you? Scoring the touchdown or seeing that young guy make the play, seeing how excited he is, just that feeling that you get?
To me, it was watching my other teammates, Andre Ellington.
I love that.
And Jamie Harper my senior year. You know, because a lot of people don't know I played with a turf toe the whole year.
Which hurts like hell.
It hurts. In some games I didn't finish. So I got more joy out of watching those guys be successful because, excuse me, because I knew the hard work they put in. You know, so that's why in the ACC championship game, if you go back and look at that game, when I got, you know, down there by the end zone, I was sitting there laying on the sideline, had just got knocked out of bounds, ball on the 1 yard line. You know, some of my teammates come over there and they're like, no, you need to go finish. You need to go score. I'm like, no, go put Andre Ellington in. He can do it. You know, so because I knew the hard work and I wanted to reward that young guy and get him the confidence. Hey, man, you can play at this high stage.
You're next up.
It's like you're the next one. And so I'm passing the torch to you. So to me, I got more gratification out of just watching my young guys in the room go out there and be successful. You know, Jamie Harper, NC State, has a big run, make a guy miss. I'm on the sideline going crazy. You
would think I
just
scored
80 yards. So I think I just got more joy out of watching those guys score touchdowns than I got out of my own self scoring one.
All right, everybody, very excited to welcome 2020 Hall of Fame inductee. We had to wait a year for COVID. I was going to ask you about that. Cade McNown, unbelievable quarterback at UCLA, Rose Bowl Hall of Fame, consensus All-American, NFL. Number one, I want to say congratulations to you. And how exciting. I know you're going to get asked this 1,000 times, but you know, so much hard work goes into this behind the scenes that people don't see. How exciting is it to just receive the recognition to be a Hall of Famer? I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think this is a huge milestone. It's a huge opportunity to be here, to be going in with so many guys who I grew up watching and, you know, it's just it's very humbling. It really is, and it's you know, and I've fortunately got a lot of my teammates coming tonight as well, and you know, which makes me so happy because you know they all know I'm up here as a representative of them, and I'm you know thrilled to have that honor and carry that. That staff.
If you don't mind me asking, and again, the teammate angle is something that is the most fun, and because those are the guys you grinded with, and those are the guys you relied on, and they relied on you. But when you got the call, kind of how did it go? And I'm sure it was probably an emotional moment for you.
Oh yeah. Well, you mean when I got the
When you got to know you were going to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. It was really neat. I had come home from work, and there was a package at the house. Didn't quite know what it was, opened it up, and it was a football that, you know, says congratulations.
Wow.
You know, going into the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame, and I was blown away. I really was. I'd, you know, been lucky enough to be on the ballot a couple of times in years past and didn't necessarily think it would happen. I, you know, there were folks who were like, you know, it'll happen. You just never know when. And I said, I'll believe it when I see it. And so, and sure enough, it happened, and we're here today. And it's, it really is I just keep saying it's such a tremendous honor.
Yeah.
It really is, and very humbling.
Definitely. And, you know, I want to talk some ball with you. You're a guy I know loves ball, and we love ball here. Looking at offenses nowadays,
yeah.
You know, do you ever look around at the RPO and all this stuff and these guys that are going empty the whole time and, you know, 70% pass, whatever. How exciting is it to watch offense now as a guy that played the position back in the day, had a ton of success, knows what it takes? Do you ever go, man, that RPO, that'd be a little interesting?
Well, listen, I was so lucky to have a lot of great running backs that played with mm-hmm. me. And I couldn't imagine not giving them the ball and taking the pressure off of me. So I don't necessarily need all that pressure. I enjoyed the run game. I enjoyed carrying out the fakes, you know,
yeah.
and once in a while keeping the ball when nobody noticed. And you know, I love the way that we played football when I played.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it is a different era now. You see a lot of what you're talking about. And it's great. You know, it'll be interesting to see if people kind of go back to some of the other ways.
It's
of
cyclical.
Playing.
You know that. We'll be running triple option 30 years from now. No, nobody will know what the
single,
spread is.
The single wing.
That's exactly right.
It's coming back.
Yeah, 32 personnel.
I don't know. The single wing may be bell bottoms. I don't know. I wouldn't be too sure. But, you know, look, I like the teams that have multiple packages. I think that's probably the best way to coach offensive football. Have a lot of packages. Have a lot of different things you can do. Be able to do things, obviously, on a situational basis. But, yeah, you don't want to get painted into one corner because it becomes very tough when people know you may be a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's exactly. It better be a hell of a trick.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about it, and it's funny. It's why I love having quarterbacks on because there's so much that goes into it other than throwing the ball. I don't think people realize. And we talk about balance isn't just for gymnasts. You know, and having offensive balance. And you look at the teams that are able to consistently move the ball, like you talked about. How much pressure does it take off a quarterback to be able to say, you know what, if it's third and one, we can line up and get it. I can turn around and hand it off. If it's second and one, we can run the play action. I can take my vertical shot down the field. Just how important is it as the guy behind center to be able to have balance because the full menu's open, correct?
Well, yeah, the full balance. And also to be able to sort of move the ball with some consistency to the point you can eat up some clock, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of guys will talk about it, but it's, you know, it's true. You get your defense back on the field right after they've been marched down on because you put up a quick score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're tired. I mean, these guys get beat up pretty hard, and so to the extent you can have an offense that methodically moves the ball down the field, keeps you on, you know, on the ground, is I think a great thing. You know, it's different strokes for different folks.
It's
but
exactly
I really, I, in terms of the pressure, look, you got to make sure that you can do everything possible to make sure that they don't think you have to run either. So,
true.
Right. So, you know, sometimes, and I think to the extent you can have a quarterback that can move
mm-hmm.
When called upon is very helpful. Obviously, having an additional threat. So, especially on the short down situations.
Yeah. Well, they always say the best tility. Not your utilities, it's versatility. But, Cade, congratulations,
that's
brother.
That's good.
Well, it's a who's who here, and we're here with another Hall of Famer, class of 2021, former Tennessee linebacker, NFL. I mean, played during what people in Tennessee still refer to as the glory days, winning
absolutely
the national championship in 98, playing with Peyton in 95 and 97. But Al Wilson, one of the best to do it, man.
Thank
you were
brother.
Held there at linebacker. Congratulations.
Thank you,
man.
Sir. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Definitely. Well, number one, and I always get this first question out of the way. It's like I've said with everybody, you're going to get it 10 times. How does it feel?
Amazing, amazing, humbling. You know, it's one of those situations. I think even more tonight it'll kick in,
yeah,
and really get to see the magnitude of it. Mm-hmm. But you know, just to be a part of it and be here and see so many great players, guys that I watched growing up, guys that I saw that were a little younger than me played and played at the highest level. So just to be a part of that and be mentioned in the same category with those guys is great.
Yeah. Definitely, and you know, you look at how great tonight's going to be with the awards dinner and all that. But, you know, I want to ask you, you know, looking at Tennessee now with Josh Heupel, there's a lot of momentum in Knoxville, and I know Tennessee obviously holds a place, you know, near and dear to your heart.
Absolutely.
You were on the last team to hold that trophy at the end that matters the most.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I am born and raised in Tennessee, so my love for the university is a little different than a lot of other guys that may not be from the state. But what Josh and his staff are doing at this moment is amazing. All the ex-players are excited about what's going on. The optimism is in the air, and we just feel good about the direction we're going.
Yeah, and I mean, shoot, you look at the SEC, it's getting better every year. The coaching carousel's been nuts this year, including SEC and Oklahoma and Texas coming in. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what is the biggest difference? And playing linebacker, you're obviously a guy that's got to know what's going on. And when you have Peyton on the same team, you go against him in practice, you definitely got to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
How different is the game to defend now at that position?
Well, you know, luckily for me, I was one of the, you know, smaller, faster linebackers. So I was able to, you know, kind of keep up with the running backs and cover a few receivers.
Keeps you on the field longer,
it keeps
too.
You on the field, absolutely, three downs. But now the guys that, you know, every linebacker pretty much in the league is a 4-4, 4-5 type of guy that can really cover some ground and, you know, really do certain things on the field that a guy that maybe be 6'4", 265, playing middle linebacker wouldn't be able to do back in the mid-90s to early 90s. So the game is just more wide open. A lot faster on both sides of the ball. And just coaches have gotten so much more creative. It's been fun to watch.
It has. And, you know, I always joke, we had Cade McNown in here earlier. I was like, listen, we all know it's cyclical. 30 years from now, they'll be running the single wing.
You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly
absolutely
right. They won't know what empty formation is. But, you know, Al, something I always love to ask linebackers, because, you know, my father was a linebacker at Auburn, you know, was an All-American, you know, like yourself. But when you look and playing that position, mm-hmm, to become a Hall of Famer at that position, at linebacker, what is the recipe? What are a few ingredients in the recipe?
Well, first and foremost, I think you got to be a little bit off your rockers.
Yeah, you
let's
true.
Keep it real. You know, you got to be a little willing to throw your body around a little more than the next man. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to sell out a little bit. But then you also have to study the game and take every approach, every practice, every game, every workout session with nothing but 100% full capacity and ball out. You know, I always say ball till you fall.
Exactly.
And that's what it's all about, just going out and giving 110% week in and week out, workouts, whatever it might be, and just leading your guys.
For sure. And, you know, too, as we're running down, we're here with Hall of Famer Al Wilson, hell of a player, you know, at Tennessee. I got to ask you, you know, as a guy, I know you keep up with football. What do you think about the four-team playoff? And what do you think about possibly going to 12? Well, what does the Hall of Famer think about that?
I mean, going from 4 to 12 is a big jump.
That's a big
I mean, that's
well, you know
big,
what they say. You can already triple, already doubled profits, I guess, the way they look at it.
Yeah, that's true as well. You know, it is a business. Let's not forget that. But at the end of the day, I always feel like these things always play themselves out.
They do.
You know, if you got four teams, I think the four best teams will end up being there at the end of the day. But as the transfer portal comes in and more players start to really become – well, I would say this. The teams really start to become a little more even skill-wise. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of makes sense to go from 4 to 12, because now it truly is not going to be that much of a difference in competitive nature from a lot of these teams, especially in the SEC.
Yeah, and one thing I've talked about is the – and we've had tons of parity this year. It's been one of the craziest years of college football ever. But being able to have different head coaches in schools go into that five-star defensive ends living room and where it matters, where Alabama and Georgia have had a monopoly on the linemen, being able to go in there and say, guess what, we can get to the playoff, you can get that same tape, that same NFL scout that can take you from a third rounder to a first rounder than you can at Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, I think these young guys understand that you know, it's not necessarily fun for them to just go to the best school out there right now. Sometimes these guys love to compete.
Yeah.
And if these kids keep that competitive nature and understand that, hey, I can go to University of Tennessee and get the same exposure, same facilities, everything that you can imagine. If I can get that at Tennessee, that I can get at Alabama and Georgia.
And be the guy.
And be the guy, yes. And then have an opportunity to start something anew, then why not be a part of something like that? So, you know, that's what we're pushing for. We're going after those guys as well. And, you know, hopefully we can get some of them.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride.
It is.
You know, keeping Coach Heupel's stability right now is the best ability when you look
really
around college football. But, Al, congratulations,
so much, man.
You're a hell of a player, and
appreciate
it's an honor
it,
to interview you. Let's do this again.
Sounds good to me, man.
For sure. We'll be back soon.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
Al Wilson was out there bussing heads. Got him a natty, too, for Tennessee. That was so much fun talking to him,
Al
CJ, and Cade. One.
Great trip.
It was just like a who's who's out there. All right, look, we're going to get to the Booch Club in a second. Then we're dropping our bets. Me and Cone have already hit today when we decided to tag team Middle Tennessee TTP over 19.5,
and they got
slaughtered
there. They got there, buddy.
They got there by a lot. Blaine took Toledo minus 10.5. Put the camera on him. What the hell were you thinking?
I'm glad you brought that up.
What the hell were you thinking?
Look, if we really realistically want to sit down, us three, all together.
No, we're doing it right now.
What do you mean we're doing it? Every day.
Wait, J-Boy Show.
Hold on.
Okay,
one second.
Ahead,
everybody freak out. We'll sit down, us three, and we'll go through the year.
Let's go through the year.
We'll go week to week.
Let's go through the year.
And let's see who has the better record.
Let's do it. You talking about an audit? You want to do an audit?
We'll
do
an audit. I feel great in this seat right now that I'm going to come out with the best record.
Well, of course you would, because you can't see past yourself.
Oh, okay. All right.
You may have the worst record.
I have the best record. I already did it.
No, you didn't. You can't count that high.
Well, where's the trash can at?
Hey, listen. Ooh. I told you I'm staring at it. Anyways, look.
Yeah, right there.
Look. How the hell am I going to fit? You're going to have to murder me to get
it's
me in there.
It's called tricep strength. You'll see.
No, it's not. Listen, you're not. Okay, look, we're going to figure this out. We'll figure it out. TBA. All right, but first, I want to talk about something not enough people are talking about. I need everybody that's watching or listening or in the Booster Club to just listen to me for a second. And I swear my math is right on this and my knowledge of the rule is right on this. But if for some reason it's not, with all the research that I did and what I just know from having been in it, tell me.
So they're going to let you know.
Here's where we're at. And somebody... hold my hand and explain this to me, how this was the decision, like I was a child. You say, okay, COVID year. Everybody gets an extra year. Not just the seniors, the juniors, the sophomores, and the freshmen. You all get an extra year. So you didn't just change it for 1 year. You changed it really for 4 years. At minimum, everybody gets an extra year. So then you say, all right, it's okay for the short term to have 105 total scholarships now. Because remember, it was 85. Mm-hmm. And it went there like 95 or 98 or something like that. 85 total scholarships on roster. Since they gave everybody an extra year, they bumped it up to 105 for a short time. For just 1 year.
Okay.
So only one class. That only evens out one class. Now you're going to bump it back down to 85? For the next three classes? So what does that mean? That means that we are going to have inflation in the college football recruiting market. You're now taking away the extra scholarships that you had to give buffer room for giving everybody another year. So if you had just given the seniors one more year and pumped it up to 105, then the next year dropped it to 85, okay. That's 1 year. Wash your hands of it. But you gave everybody another year. So in theory, you should have to keep the scholarship limit at 105 for the next 3 to 4 years to be able to balance that out. But who does that hurt?
The high schoolers.
The high school kids. Mm-hmm. There were only, and we were talking about this with Siski last time I went on a show. He brought it up. We were talking about it. There were only 20, I think, Power 5, maybe all Division 1, Power 5 schools that signed over 20 high school kids in the class.
Mm.
Think about that. Only 20 out of all of them signed over 20 high school kids.
20 of them?
20.
Wow.
So what does that mean? That means that a lot of guys are going to the portal to fix what they need. Especially it's a quick fix and a better product because it's experienced. But dude, the high school kids are left holding the bag. Legitimately left holding the bag. USC signed 6 high school kids, I think. There are high school coaches right now calling around going, I've got an FBS kid that has nowhere to go. Mm. And so we're going to see this, if you keep it at 85, for 4 years? that math doesn't add up.
So you're saying it needs to be at 105 until the last kid graduates
that had an extra year
in college when COVID hit. Until that last kid graduates, it needs to be at 105.
That's the only way to balance the checkbook. But still, even it, still, it gives you more scholarships to be able to sign more high school kids. It's really helping out the high school kids. Oklahoma, for example. Oklahoma State had what, like six super seniors this year on defense? They're going to have eight next year because those guys can stick around for another year. Why do you think we're seeing all this parity? So at the end of the day, the math doesn't add up to the terms. Somebody screwed up. So what are they going to have to do? They're probably going to have to raise the scholarship limit. They're probably going to have to raise it, probably to 105. Because if they don't, Dave Doran even said it. You guys screwed us on the roster management deal. How am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do? Because if I'm a new head coach that needs to flip a place around that's paying me a lot of money that I need to win quick, I'm going to the portal quicker than Raiden. But the math doesn't add up. That needs to get fixed now, not tomorrow, not the next. It needs to get fixed now. They either need to make a decision. One, you're going to bump it up to 105 to even it out until these guys that got the extra year are through. Or you're going to have a huge high school, too many prospects left over problem. Guess who benefits the most from this, though? FCS, D2. You're going to be getting guys you should not have gotten. The math doesn't add up.
So the freshman limit that you can bring in is still what? 25?
It's 32, remember?
Well, if with the portal, though, right? Or is it 32 even if you don't take someone from the portal? Is it 32? If you can sign 32 freshmen
it's
out of high school?
It's 32. Yes, it's okay. 32
so
in the class.
It's 32. So the number is still 32, but what's happening is schools aren't hitting that number because they're keeping so many upperclassmen who are deciding to come back because
it's
of COVID.
It's just true supply and demand.
Gotcha.
Because now, again, it's all about the overall number. Yeah. It's all about going from 85 to the 105 to make up for everybody sticking around.
Yes.
So you got those extra scholarships to make up for everybody sticking around. But you're going to drop it back down to 85 now?
Yes.
And just cut the legs out from a ton. You are screwing over three high school classes of kids.
Yeah.
You are really screwing over the sophomores in high school right now.
So you're saying it doesn't help anyone to be able to sign 32 freshmen if that would put you over the 85 total cap. You can't sign the 32 guys.
You've got to get to the 85 number now. It's all about, they're just telling you now per year what you can take. We're bumping that up. But what they're going to have to do, I'm just telling you, the only way to fix it, because you can't take that year back away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, nope, psych. You can't Charlie Brown them. So they got to have that extra year. So you've got to go through that. The only way to make the math add up, and you're still putting high school kids in a bad situation, is to keep the scholarship limit at 105 until the last class that you gave an extra year leaves. And then you balance the checkbook.
Yeah.
Then the checkbook's back balanced. You open it up. You closed it. We know what to do. Or they're going to say indefinitely, we're going to go to 105. Those are the two things.
Something has to change.
Something has. You can't. They're contradicting themselves in how they're handling it. Because, again, once you give it, you can't take it away. So it's just, how do you adjust to it? It's just the social security of football. College football is what it is. What's the Booster Club saying, Blaine?
All right, we've got a question here from David Heron, hashtag AskJBoy, and I like this question. Pretty interesting. Name the best father and son duo in college football, not counting the Mannings.
Man, that's a good one. The best father-son duo, not counting the Mannings? Man, give me... I mean, the Harbaughs are cool. That's a cool story, but I don't think it's the biggest one. I would say the biggest one... God, I'm missing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing
me too.
Somebody
I'm
bad.
I'm trying to think.
All right, so you got the Greasies.
You got the Greasies.
Bob and Brian.
You've got Harbaughs. You've got the Harbaughs.
The Hasselbacks.
The Hasselbacks. That's not father and son, though, right? They're brothers.
Don and Matt Hasselbeck.
Don, that's right. Got Don.
Don't you forget
about
Don.
You got Don Shula and Mike Shula, right?
Yep. Phil and Chris Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Man, who's the most, like, popular, though?
The Mannings.
The question was outside of the Mannings, Rumpelstiltskin.
So Chris and Aiden Hutchinson is looking pretty good now.
Go.
Looking pretty good right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Chris isn't really that. I mean.
Aiden broke his dad's school record at Michigan for sacks.
That's true, but like from a fame standpoint, like I'm thinking national.
What about.
Who do you know?
What about. Derek Stingley Jr.'s dad was good.
Would it
wasn't
be
he?
Al Davis and his son?
Wasn't Stingley. Oh, yeah.
What's his son's name? Why do I want to say Ray Davis? I don't think that's right. I can
I
see him. He's blonde
right.
hair. Looks like John Daly looks. I'm trying to remember his name. Is anybody in the booster club? Anybody in the booster club?
Hold on, we're missing some.
We're missing somebody.
Some big ones, man.
Well, see, it's dad and son, right? It's not brother, guys. It's not the Matthews.
I know, that's what I said. It's father and son.
I'm talking about the booster club.
His farger.
I'm talking about the booster club.
His what? His father? Oh, his father. I love that part of Austin Powers. And anybody in the booster club saying one that we just totally whiffed?
No.
I mean, think. Think harder.
Chris Sims was a good one.
Chris and Howie Long.
That's a... Well, there's like three of them, right?
Kevin Winslow Sr. and Kevin Winslow Jr.
Kellen Winslow.
That's a Kellen good Winslow.
One. Kevin Winslow was the guy who played, did the voices. Yeah.
I don't think we're missing realistically.
I don't think we are. That's a great question. What else do we got? Anybody upset us about roster mismanagement?
Right,
this
so
week?
We got
is anybody
comment.
Upset about that other than
we
me?
We have a comment here from Jay Chain. And he
Jay Chain? But I got me a few
he,
on?
He says it should be a more of a drawing down if they want to get back to 85, like a 105 to 100 to a 95
yes,
to a 90,
a trickle down
over the 5
DJ
years.
Elliott said that last night. You could do the trickle down. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But you can't just rip the rug out from everybody like, all right, those 20, gone. Where are they? Whoa. You can't do that and then expect everybody just – there's going to be guys that stay. You want to know why? Because there's a lot more guys that don't play in the NFL that do, that would love that extra college year. I mean, they're pulling an Uncle Rico in the flesh. I mean, look, I know Eric Crouch was at Nebraska for 30 years, but they're giving him some run for his money here. It just – to me, it's fascinating that nobody is talking about this more. You want to know why? Because nobody talks about roster management, because nobody knows how important that is. The few people that talk about it, like, this is huge. This is it. This is the roster. Like, this is how you feed your family. These guys going out and balling. Shocks me. Blaine, what else from the booster club?
Breaking news here. Damani Jackson,
commits
to USC over
Bama.
Yeah,
that's a big one. Big one for USC.
Nope. Got a question Lincoln here Riley. From Eric, our Oregon brother. Hashtag AskJBoy. Other Eric. Than targeting, what rules need to be changed in college football? He thinks being able to go down and continue if you aren't touched is good, just like the NFL.
I think you could argue that one just because it's – I don't think everybody would freak out about that. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way college football does it, though. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a traditionalist there. One of the rules – these are all going to be defensive, so you might as well just get ready for this.
Who would have thought?
Number one, the fact that you can throw a flag if somebody tackles the quarterback's – quarterback by his legs, like if somebody pushes you into the quarterback and you tackle him in his legs and that's a 15-yard penalty, that's a terrible rule. Mm-hmm. That's a terrible rule. In the NFL, I guess, you know, they can do what they want, but you have guys that are crawling trying to sack guys that grab somebody by his knee and it's a 15-yard penalty. That's BS. That's number one. You already know, and I know you brought up targeting, so I'm not going to go down that road. That's number one. Okay, they fixed the fake slide, thank goodness. But to me, on that targeting point, offensive players should be called for targeting if they lower the crown of their helmet.
Yes.
And there should be no targeting if the person that person lowers for the blow while lowering their helmet. Targeting should be thrown
and
out.
And levels
you
of targeting. Have,
yeah, levels of targeting. Flagrant one, flagrant two. I don't want to dive too far into it. Another thing that drives me absolutely nuts. If the kicker kicks the ball in the end zone, and nobody goes and gets it to down it or catches it to fair catch, it should be a live ball.
That's how
now
it was,
guys
right?
just
yeah.
look over there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's listen, that ball is live until somebody downs it. And if you recover in the
fact.
End zone, it's a touchdown.
That's a fact.
That drives me nuts. Another thing, guys, and I saw this at the SEC Championship.
We're not going to get too deep into this.
Well, this
SEC
episode's over.
Yeah.
Stop having grown men run full speed to go get the tee after a kickoff.
One school has a dog.
What,
it
watched,
always
I,
be
no,
a dog.
Listen, if
one
it's,
school
it
has
should
a dog.
Always
Boys
be a dog. But I watched a grown man from Alabama. Look, we're in TV timeout. Like, we're watching Dion and Coach Saban and Affleck commercial right now. And they've got a full-grown man that sprints to go get the tee and is sprinting off as fast as he can. Two things. One, you're doing way too much. I get giving all effort.
Standard.
Number two, the first time you fall down, I will point and laugh at you.
Well, yeah, what's the funny thing? Refs fall down, so I mean.
I'm going to nominate intentional grounding. Get rid of it. Quarterbacks should be able to throw the ball wherever they want. We deserve special treatment.
I just want pass interference
really
to be able to be reviewed.
It grinds my gears.
That's what I want.
It grinds my gears. okay? Special treatment.
Two things. One, if I hear another wide receiver complain about any pass interference call, I'm going to lose.
It's funny how you go straight wide receiver. It's about both sides.
I'm going
it's
to
for
lose.
Both
what else y'all want?
Sides.
What else do you want?
It's for both sides.
How, they're going to review an offensive pass interference?
Yes. Just like
how
it,
many? Okay.
Just
okay.
like if they want
okay.
them to call offensive targeting, okay. why wouldn't they review offensive pass interference?
Okay, well, then why is an offensive pass interference and defensive pass interference called the same amount of times then? There was
because
so much
y'all
more.
Pass interfere more.
And therein
but,
lies
but
your
it will,
bias
it, no.
problem.
It'll get called less. It'll get called less if we review it. They'll get it right.
It's going to get called less if we review
it. If it's wrong, they'll get it right. So you don't have any faith in the people watching the play
no.
through all the monitors?
No.
Okay. I'm trying to help
I
y'all
don't.
Out.
Can I just point this out?
No,
I
you're
just,
not. See,
I
got
to help y'all out.
I just pointed out that intentional grounding should be eliminated, which is egregious, and y'all two started fighting.
No.
I love that. I love that.
It's because
I
you,
love
it's
it.
Because, listen.
Okay, and before you can get on to me, because I know you're going to get on my case, I want to switch back to the father-son duo. I think our buddy T-Bob Hebert and his dad, T-Bob. Shout out T-Bob.
Littlefoot.
Great player.
I know.
Said,
I know what the
you
best.
Said that, not me.
I know what
Littlefoot?
You said that, not me.
I don't
what
love the you, T-Bob. I'm just kidding.
Duo is going to be.
But no, I'm serious.
What's that?
It's David Cohn and Adam Cohn.
Maybe his grandfather, wow. Richard. It skipped one.
It's going to skip.
What?
Nah.
No.
You're the
I
one at 7'3". When he's over there staring over the line and the third row of in the stadium. But no, look. You shouldn't be able to review pass. Number one, the game would take forever.
I don't care. Get it right.
The game would take. You don't care?
I don't care. Get it right.
You don't care.
I'm going to watch.
You're the same guy that says you won't watch Major League Baseball because it takes too long.
Football, I don't watch Major League Baseball. First of all, there's 300 games in the regular season.
There's 162.
Okay. It's not as fun to watch football. It's just not. I'd rather watch football than someone get up there and pitch for 17 hours. I'd rather watch people hit each other
But
for
you're not
going to
be watching when they're reviewing every pass interference.
For 7 hours, I will.
Wow.
Make it longer. I could watch football 24 hours every day.
Yeah,
of the
but
week.
I want to watch multiple games. I want this to turn into
get
cricket.
Multiple TVs.
Does cricket last a long time?
Yeah, it does.
No
it's
one
like
really knows how long cricket
3
lasts.
Days.
Yeah, look, cricket's just not my bag. What else is the Booster Club saying?
Right,
why we want to review pass interference? Make me want to puke.
Trying
let's
to
review.
Help you.
Hey, let's review.
That's fun.
Let's review that because he
That's
looked
fun.
At him before
you know
the snap.
Why? Because they probably get it caught on the more. Because they cheat more than they get caught.
Here,
I promise
and
you
this
that.
Is why Blaine shouldn't be in charge of any rules. He has unbelievable bias.
I don't. I played safety in high school too. Like,
don't give me right. that. I played safety. You're a receiver, dog.
That's ridiculous.
You've been a receiver since
you
came out the womb.
It's always something with DBs.
Has he?
It's
because he told me he used to play quarterback until he had a wrist injury.
Quarter.
Quarter. Yeah. Until he had a wrist injury and then got moved to wide receiver.
Let's not make this about Blaine in middle school.
Okay.
Yeah, I compound fractured my wrist. I moved high schools anyway. All right, so I put...
What does that have to do with it?
I don't know. He's searching. He's just paddling.
You put a pole out?
You put a pole out?
Did you put a pole out?
Go ahead, put a pole out.
You know what, you guys.
Go ahead.
That's why you can't help DBs, man. That's fine. The
how about
same
we,
guy,
how about
the
we review
guys
it
who
to
celebrate,
see who,
the same
how
guys
about,
who celebrate when someone's wide open and they drop a
how
pass.
About, how about we review it and see who won?
Put a poll out, all right? Do you think players should be able to transfer in conference? Okay, I want to see what the Booster Club thought. Who went first yesterday?
I did.
You did. Davey.
Booster Club. The word is in. You let this maturate long enough.
Yeah.
It's official. It's done.
Yeah.
They probably said... They probably said no at 51%.
Boop.
Tight one.
They said no at 60%.
Oh, you're going.
Wait, hold on. What was yours?
I said 51. He didn't even.
You said 60?
Ah, wait.
There's leeway there.
Don't be 54.
Do you think players should be able to transfer in conference? No, 53%.
Yes!
And that's how you bring the goods. That's how
beautiful.
You do it, Blaine.
It's beautiful.
And good for the Booster Club, because you shouldn't be able to.
All right, we got a couple things here from the Booster.
I blew it.
You did blow when you hit 60.
Man!
That's okay.
All right, a couple things here from the Booster Club. Superior Thruster says pass interference is a problem. He would like to get reviewed. And Jane Lawless
what position
says,
you play?
Jane Lawless
what position
said,
you play?
Jane Lawless said, "Preach, Blaine. I could watch football all
wow.
day."
Wow,
I'm not saying.
He's
listen,
curating. We
listen,
gotta.
Yeah.
We gotta
first off,
curator.
What's that movie? What's that movie where it's the game show movie where the guy knows they're feeding the other guy the
quiz
answers?
Show.
Quiz show. I feel like the guy from Quiz Show right
yeah.
now.
Because Blaine's over there like, I don't know, the third president to eat a ham sandwich was Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, man. All right, I got a question here from Justin Decker, hashtag Ask Jay Boy. A little throwback right here for you. Yeah. Do you see Opelika, who got bumped to 7A?
Yay.
All right. Do you think they'll ever win a title? Punter, go.
Go! Look, as a member of O-Town's finest.
That's the alma mater, isn't it?
O-P-E-L-I-K-A.
You took the old Toros out. Took the old Toros out this year.
Yeah, that's right. Spanish Fort, get out of here.
Never me, though.
These children out of here. Blaine went to Spanish Fort. We just wiped them, looked them down.
Y'all's alma maters played this season.
Yeah,
and Opelika got them.
In the playoffs. Yeah.
Wow.
Got them Opelika goons on them.
When it mattered.
When it really mattered. We know. Deep down. Yes, the answer's yes. Coach Speakman, what's up? Shout out Coach McCracken. Nobody has a clue. Right. The people like in New Jersey right now, this is like, who the hell is Coach McCracken?
Our friends in London are now Opelika fans.
I haven't told you that story, but that's a funny story I have to tell you about Coach McCracken, what happened to me.
Aren't you riding home with me today?
Well, yeah,
I'll tell you. We got a question here from Will Hewitt, and he's been wanting to ask this for like 3 days. Will, I'm glad to get your question now. It's kind of a long one, so let me get into it. Hashtag Ask Jboy. Can I get the official top 10 recruiters from the three brightest minds we've got? I'm not going to go 10. Let's go 5. All right, we're going to go
the
5.
Best?
The best recruiter. Shout out for Jake for leading with my tweet. Got so much love. Didn't get to lead with it, but Will, we
thrill.
Did get to it.
Yeah,
so
we did.
So give me your
Will.
Five
Will
best recruiters.
One, I'm just going to go head coaches because it's easier. Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal.
Really?
Yep, he's that good. Give me... God, there's so many position coaches I could pick. Corey Raymond. I know it's not a head coach. Give me Corey Raymond. And give me Bo Davis.
Really?
From Texas.
So I'll keep those first two. Nick Kirby. Then I want Dabo 3.
Yeah,
Jimbo 4. And then Shane Beamer 5.
God,
Shane
God,
Beamer
God,
can
almost
recruit,
put Jimbo
man.
I just want to see Shane do it again as the head coach. Just twice. Show it to me twice. Hit the three. Oh, great. It may have been lucky. Hit it again.
This guy's
I believe
recruiting
you can shoot.
Kids to Oklahoma, okay, which is easy enough on some levels, and then says, you know what? You already committed to Oklahoma. Now come to me to South Carolina, and they're going.
He's like, you didn't hear me. I said, come to Oklahoma, South Carolina.
Opelika, South Carolina?
Yeah, literally. Well, I think he tricked Spencer Rattler. He was like, yeah, USC is just – out this way. Come on, you're almost here. You can see him like with the Tommy Tuberville bag of Golden Flake chips. He's like, come on. Come on. Welcome to USC. He's like, wait a minute. This doesn't look like California. He's like, because it's not.
You would put Mario over Dabo, though.
I put Mario over Dabo. Well, I'm just telling you. He just stole a tight end from Bama.
Yeah, he
the
did.
Number one ranked tight end in the
he
country.
He did do that.
Yeah, I'd, I'd go Mario, Kirby, Jimbo, Dabo. I would go Nick, Kirby, Jimbo, Dabo, Mario.
Yeah.
Let's don't be insulting today.
Clean yourself up. What else we got from the Booster Club, Blaine? Couple more.
Oh, you want a couple more? All right, let me get in here. All right. Question from CJ Franklin, hashtag AskJayBoy. Is there an FCS school that could come up to the FBS level?
Yeah, North Coast State.
There's some happening, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, we're having some, I think, Sam Houston State as well. I think they're bumping
what
up.
What was James Madison? They're coming
James
to
Madison,
the Sun Belt.
James Madison, I think, is bumping up. Yeah, yeah. There's always going to be a handful. I think, and what I'm more interested to see is not just them coming up, how they do after a couple of years of coming up. Because again, some of these schools can really take off. They have a ton of room for growth. You look at Sam Houston. You look at James Madison. You look at North Dakota State. Teams like that that could come in and not have a problem, in my opinion, fitting in and then excelling and seeing which one of those will be the next one, kind of to come from the kids' table to the adults' table and really make a move. What else do we got?
All right, we got a question here from Adam Swindell, hashtag AskJayBoy. Inside the show, all right, what do y'all go do during the pre-recorded interviews? He wants to know.
What do we do?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, we interview them. I mean, we come down here because, again, it varies. That's one cool thing about this show is that we're able to get these guests because we can interview at different times. So we always come down here early and we're working and we're talking. And the crazy part is, you know, our prep and shout out to our boy Ryan, our producer, our prep is us doing this. It's really us doing this. I mean, we're coming up, you know, with topics that we think are important and this, that, and the other. But a lot of what you get in the show and what I think makes the show good, one of the aspects of it, at least I hope, is that what you're hearing right now is exactly how we are pretty much when the camera gets off, too. Even yesterday, going in Cone's Cave, I mean, we turn the camera off, and it's still us talking about the same things, kind of the same
kind of views on certain things and with the humor and stuff mixed in. Because, again, I think one thing with the show that resonates is that it's real. This is a real conversation. And while we're trying to impart knowledge, while we're trying to impart our opinion, you know, we want it to come off as genuine because it is. And with so much fake stuff out there right now, people acting, you know, whether it's outrage for something or excited about something or not, I'm a firm believer in people can tell when you're being genuine or you're really being yourself. And at the end of the day, people want to listen to people that are genuine and knowledgeable and stuff like that. And I think that's what we bring. But this is us. I mean, that's the cool part about the show, too, is as the show's grown, you guys have kind of grown with us. And
yeah,
we've got to know a lot of people from the Booster Club and adding more. It's so cool to see different faces in the Booster Club every day.
It's so cool.
We understand, too, you know, without you guys, there is no show. Without the audience, there is no show. So we're more grateful, I think, for you guys than maybe sometimes y'all are for us, which is how it
day,
should be.
Man.
Every
There's
day,
people to work, man.
Every day. Every day. I get asked all the time, you know, how do y'all do it so much? How are y'all able to do so many shows? You wonder why? Because I ain't letting them down.
Mm-hmm.
They're in here every day listening.
Every day.
We're not letting them down. And I'm not going to let myself down. So, you know, that's part of it. But we'll always be us.
Yeah.
One more.
All right. We got Jeff's in here and he's freaking out. All right.
Jeff with a G. Has he come down from cloud nine yet?
Why is he freaking out?
Because I don't know. Did you put Jimbo in your top five?
I believe so, didn't I?
I did. So why don't you tell Jeff to stop hating on me for once?
Not you, David.
No,
it's
but I
want
to make sure that he puts
did,
in there.
Did I not say Jimbo and then he freaked out?
All right, he says, Jake, you are dead to me without Jimbo in the top
Jimbo's
five.
Jimbo's in the top five.
That's
Jimbo's
the second
in the top
one.
Five.
He says, ask Jake, how the hell do you forget Jimbo? He says, this show is a dislike.
This show's a dislike. Can you ask Jeff, please, to make sure that he confirms in the chat that I had Jimbo in my top five?
Oh, Jeff, you heard that? Confirm
Thank
that,
you,
please.
Jeff.
Jeff, look, man, I would like to take this opportunity to apologize for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Look, I forgot to put Jimbo in there. Jimbo's definitely in there. They just signed the class of a lifetime. I've been so nice to A&M. But the thing, you know what I'm learning with some A&M fans? Or just fans in general, is you could say a 99 nice things about the school. But one thing you say, maybe it's not even, I just put out a tweet, what does Texas A&M taking Mac Johnson say about Haynes King? And you'd have thought I'd have tried to kidnap the president's son.
Unless you come on here and horns down every day.
What else do you want? Now go win it. I told you yesterday, y'all, go win it.
Is that confirmation in there?
Listen, I ain't been
that great recruiting class
to
go 8-4, baby.
I signed it. Listen, well, Hester this morning, I went on ESPN 104.5 The Bench, and Hester was like, yeah, man, can you believe they signed all those players to go 9-3? And I was like, listen, your words, not mine. So A&M fans, if you want to direct your hate, I think it's at Jacob Hester, somewhere there on Twitter.
And at Brother Blaine.
And at
Crane Blaine on Twitter. Come at me,
bro. On Twitter.
Hey, Jeff wants you to know that he knows that you had him in the top five.
Thank you for that confirmation, Jeff.
Now I'm upset. I'm upset.
You put him in there. You got Jimbo in there now, don't you?
Now, yeah. That's why I auto-corrected it. That's my bad for not putting him in there.
It's 2021. You can put your name in the portal and take it back out.
One slip.
You know?
One slip. Hashtag
way the road.
Coming at the
After we just gassed up the Booster Club, telling them how much we love them.
You know
but
what?
Jeff, he's an outlier.
Jeff
he's
is.
He's a
he's
maverick.
Like the sheriff of Nottingham of the Booster Club.
He's his brother, Ezekiel the sheriff.
Who let him out? His brother, Ezekiel the sheriff. If you know on that one. But great show, Booster Club.
Good job.
Turn on the notifications. Hit that subscribe button. May have a little best of tomorrow. We'll see that we drop. But going to be back live Monday, 3 to 4 Eastern, here at the Palace. The Caminos.
Enjoy the bowls. Did we
enjoy the bowls?
Bets?
Oh, we had
bets. I almost did it.
What would y'all
do I almost did it. Here we go. Bets for tomorrow. Some of those guys would have been so pissed that are in the chat. All right, hang on. Here's what I got tomorrow. I put on my Professor X helmet. I went into Cerebro. Got a few answers. Number one, Fresno, TTP over 31.5. Jake Hayner, the boys are back in town. They're going to score so many points against UTEP. It's going to be unbelievable to watch. Utah State, plus 7.5 against Oregon State. Utah State's played punched above their weight the whole year. Blake Anderson, one of the most underrated coaches in the country. I don't think they win, but I think they lose by a touchdown or less. And then App. You want to have a great dinner? Order a great App. I'm taking App.
You got App.
-3 against Western Kentucky. App State's going to slow them down a little bit. I think they can get some stops, and they're going to pound the rock right at them. That's at -3. Utah State plus 7.5, and the Fresno State TTP. You down with TTP? Yeah, you know me.
Good
over
picks.
31.5.
Good picks.
I love off me.
I love it. Me?
Already 1-0.
Go.
Okay. Well, I'm 0-1, but it's fine, boys. You know me. You know how it goes. This is what I'm taking. All right, I'm taking Utah and Fresno State over 51.5.
Utah doesn't play Fresno State.
UTEP. God, you took Fresno State over 51 at halftime. It'd be kind of a good game. They did. And you took Fresno State TTP?
Over 31 and a half. Over, yeah, you know
good.
Me.
They can play together. All right, so I went to Dr. Strange and we talked about that. All right. Oregon State versus Utah this State. The wild. Under's at 67. Yeah. The total's at 67 and a half. Strange.
What you got?
And I'm liking the under on that. And he liked it too. He got his necklace. He like turned it left. It popped up pyramids. Two other guys were doing stuff with their hands. And he said the under's going to hit. So I feel great about it. What do you feel? What do you feel?
I don't watch cartoons, but that's not a cartoon.
Nice. Okay. Good try, though.
Anyway, okay. First of all, I want to start. Middle Tennessee State, TTP over 19 and a half. Oh, wait. That one already
hit.
Hit, okay,
too.
Next one to hit. Coastal NIU over 62 and a half. Are you on that one too?
You got the.
I got NIU plus
over,
7.5
the
first
over?
Half.
Come on, be
no,
quicker.
No, I do not. I do not.
Okay,
do
well,
not.
I thought that's what you put in the chat. Anyway, no. I thought we could be bet buds. I'm taking Coastal NIU game over 62 and a half. I want Fresno minus 11 and a half.
Like
a lot
it.
Of points would be good. We can both hit. BYU minus 6.5. Write them down.
I love it.
Let's go.
I love it. I'm going to tweet these out.
You're talking about today's bets. You're talking about today's bets. I do have that.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. And today's because I just tweeted them out. Yeah. I talked about it.
So I do
so
have
we
that
hit,
coastal.
Well, the people want to know. Yes. So
we both hit the middle over 19 and a half. Me and you did.
Yeah.
And I had NIU plus 7.5 for the first half.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Let's go, boys.
All right.
Enjoy
great
the bowls, guys.
Enjoy the bowls. Enjoy the bowls. Yes.
I'm opting in.
I'm opting
out.
I'm Optimus Prime. Anyways, no, I appreciate you guys. Another great show. And like our wait for the bowl games, we are going. Gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn. Associate producer, Blaine Crane. Audio engineer, Faison Sharif. Executive producers, Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn. Voiceover announcer, Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.